Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Act 3 of Twelfth Night by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Act 3. Scene 1. Olivia's Garden. Enter Viola and Clown with a tabor.
Save thee, friend, and thy music. Dost thou live by thy tabor?
No, sir, I live by the church.
Art thou a churchman?
No such matter, sir. I do live by the church, for I do live at my house, and my house doth stand by the church.
So thou mayest say the king lies by a beggar, if a beggar dwell near him, or the church stands by thy tabor, if thy tabor stand by the church.
You have said, sir, to see this age a sentence is but a cheveral glove to a good wit, how quickly the wrong side may be turned outward.
Nay, that's certain. They that dally nicely with words may quickly make them wanton.
I would. Therefore my sister had no name, sir.
Why, man?
Why, sir, her name's a word, and to dally with that word might make my sister wanton. But indeed words are very rascals, since bonds disgrace them.
Thy reason, man?
Troth, sir, I can yield you none without words, and words are grown so false I am loath to prove reason with them.
I warrant thou art a merry fellow, and carest for nothing.
Not so, sir, I do care for something. But in my conscience, sir, I do not care for you. If that be to care for nothing, sir, I would it would make you invisible.
Art not thou the Lady Olivia's fool?
No, indeed, sir, the Lady Olivia has no folly. She will keep no fool, sir, till she be married. And fools are as like husbands as pilchards are to herrings. The husband's the bigger. I am indeed not her fool, but her corrupter of words.
I saw thee late at the Count Orsino's.
Foolery, sir, does walk about the orb like the sun. It shines everywhere. I would be sorry, sir, but the fool should be as oft with your master as with my mistress. I think I saw your wisdom there.
Nay, an thou pass upon me, I'll no more with thee. Hold, there's expenses for thee.
Now, Jove, in his next commodity of hair, send thee a beard.
By my troth, I'll tell thee. I am almost sick for one.
Aside.
Though I would not have it grow on my chin. Is thy lady within?
Would not a pair of these have bred, sir?
Yes, being kept together and put to use.
I would play Lord Pandarus of Phrygia, sir, to bring a Cressida to this Trollius.
I understand you, sir, 'tis well begged.
The matter, I hope, is not great, sir, begging but a beggar. Cressida was a beggar. My lady is within, sir, I will construe to them whence you come, who you are and what you would are out of my welkin. I might say element, but the word is overworn.
Exit.
This fellow is wise enough to play the fool, and to do that well craves a kind of wit. He must observe their mood on whom he jests, the quality of persons and the time, and like the haggard check at every feather that comes before his eye. This is a practice as full of labour as a wise man's art, for folly that he wisely shows is fit. But wise men, folly fallen, quite taint their wit.
Enter Sir Toby Belch and Sir Andrew.
Save you, gentlemen.
And you, sir?
Dieu vous garde, monsieur.
Et vous aussi, votre serviteur.
I hope, sir, you are, and I am yours.
Will you encounter the house? My niece is desirous you should enter, if your trade be to her.
I am bound to your niece, sir. I mean she is the list of my voyage.
Taste your legs, sir. Put them to motion.
My legs do better understand me, sir, than I understand what you mean by bidding me taste my legs.
I mean to go, sir, to enter.
I will answer you with gate and entrance. Oh, but we are prevented.
Enter Olivia and Maria.
Most excellent and accomplished lady, the heavens rain odours on you.
That youth so rare, courtier. Rare odours? Well.
My matter hath no voice to your own most pregnant and vouchsafed ear.
odours, pregnant and vouchsafed. I'll get them all three already.
Let the garden door be shut and leave me to my hearing.
Exeunt Sir Toby Belch, Sir Andrew, and Maria.
Give me your hand, sir.
My duty, madam, and most humble service.
What is your name?
Cesario is your servant's name, fair princess.
My servant, sir? 'Twas never merry world since lowly feigning was called compliment. Your servant to the Count Orsino, youth.
And he is yours, and his must needs be yours. Your servant's servant is your servant, madam.
For him I think not on him. For his thoughts would they were blanks rather than filled with me.
Madam, I come to whet your gentle thoughts on his behalf.
Oh, by your leave, I pray you. I bade you never speak again of him. But would you undertake another suit? I had rather hear you to solicit that than music from the spheres.
Dear lady.
Give me leave, beseech you. I did send, after the last enchantment you did hear, a ring in chase of you. So I did abuse myself, my servant, and, I fear me, you. Under your hard construction must I sit to force that on you, in a shameful cunning which you knew none of yours. What might you think? Have you not set mine honour at the stake and baited it with all the unmuzzled thoughts that tyrannous heart can think? To one of your receiving enough is shown. A cypress, not a bosom, hideth my heart. So, let me hear you speak.
I pity you.
That's a degree to love.
No, not a grise. For 'tis a vulgar proof that very oft we pity enemies.
Why, then, methinks 'tis time to smile again. O world, how apt the poor are to be proud! If one should be a prey, how much the better to fall before the lion than the wolf!
Clock strikes.
The clock upbraids me with the waste of time. Be not afraid, good youth, I will not have you. And yet, when wit and youth is come to harvest, your wife is like to reap a proper man. There lies your way, due west.
Then westward ho. Grace and good disposition attend your ladyship. You'll nothing, madam, to my lord by me?
Stay. I prithee. Tell me what thou think'st of me.
That you do think you are not what you are.
If I think so, I think the same of you.
Then think you right. I am not what I am.
I would you were as I would have you be.
Would it be better, madam, than I am? I wish it might, for now I am your fool.
Oh, what a deal of scorn looks beautiful in the contempt and anger of his lip! A murderous guilt shows not itself more soon than love that would seem hid. Love's night is noon. Cesario, by the roses of the spring, by maidhood, honour, truth, and everything, I love thee so that, maugre all thy pride, nor wit nor reason can my passion hide. Do not extort thy reasons from this clause, for that I woo, thou therefore hast no cause, but rather reason thus with reason fetter. Love sought is good, but given unsought better.
By innocence I swear, and by my youth, I have one heart, one bosom, and one truth, and that no woman has, nor never none shall mistress be of it, save I alone. And so adieu, good madam, never more will I my master's tears to you deplore.
Yet come again. For thou perhaps mayst move that heart, which now abhors, to like his love.
Exeunt. Scene 2. Olivia's house. Enter Sir Toby Belch, Sir Andrew, and Fabian.
No, faith, I'll not stay a jot longer.
Thy reason, dear Venom, give thy reason.
You must needs yield your reason, Sir Andrew.
Marry, I saw your niece do more favours to the Count's serving man than ever she bestowed upon me. I saw it in the orchard.
Did she see thee the while, old boy? Tell me that.
As plain as I see you now.
This was a great argument of love in her toward you.
Slight! Will you make an ass of me?
I will prove it legitimate, sir, upon the oaths of judgment and reason.
And they have been grand jurymen since before Noah was a sailor.
She did show favour to the youth in your sight only to exasperate you. To awake your dormouse valour, to put fire in your heart and brimstone in your liver. You should have then accosted her, and with some excellent jests, fire new from the mint, you should have banged the youth into dumbness. This was looked for at your hand, and this was balked. double guilt of this opportunity you let time wash off, and you are now sailed into the north of my lady's opinion, where you will hang, like an icicle on a Dutchman's beard, unless you do redeem it by some laudable attempt either of valour or policy.
And be anyway, it must be with valour, for policy I hate, and had as lief be a Brownist as a politician.
Why, then, build me thy fortunes upon the basis of valour. Challenge me, the Count's youth, to fight with him, hurt him in 11 places. My niece shall take note of it, and assure thyself there is no love-broker in the world can more prevail in man's commendation with woman than report of valour.
There is no way but this, Sir Andrew.
Will either of you bear me a challenge to him?
Go, write it in a martial hand. Be cursed and brief. It is no matter how witty, so it be eloquent and full of invention. Taunt him with the license of ink. If thou thouest him some thrice, it shall not be amiss. And as many lies as will lie in thy sheet of paper, although the sheet were big enough for the bed of ware in England, set em down. Go, about it. Let there be gall enough in thy ink, though thou write with a goose pen. No matter. About it.
Where shall I find you?
We'll call thee at the cubiculo. Go.
Exit Sir Andrew.
This is a dear mannikin to you, Sir Toby.
I have been dear to him, lad, some 2,000 strong or so.
We shall have a rare letter from him, but you'll not deliver it.
Never trust me, then. And by all means stir on the youth to an answer. I think oxen and wain-ropes cannot hail them together. For Andrew, if he were opened, and you find so much blood in his liver as will clog the foot of a flea, I'll eat the rest of the anatomy.
And his opposite, the youth, bears in his visage no great presage of cruelty.
Enter Maria.
Look where the youngest wren of nine comes.
If you desire the spleen, and will laugh yourself into stitches, follow me. Yond Gaul Malvolio is turned heathen, a very renegado, for there is no Christian that means to be saved by believing rightly can ever believe such impossible passages of grossness. He's in yellow stockings.
And cross-gartered?
Most villainously, like a pedant that keeps a school in the church. I have dogged him like his murderer. He does obey every point of the letter that I drop to betray him. He does smile his face into more lines than is in the new map with the augmentation of the Indies. You have not seen such a thing as 'tis. I can hardly forbear hurling things at him. I know my lady will strike him. If she do, he'll smile and take it for a great favour.
Come, bring us where he is.
Exeunt. Scene 3. A street. Enter Sebastian and Antonio.
I would not by my will have troubled you, but since you make your pleasure of your pains, I will no further chide you.
I could not stay behind you. My desire, more sharp than filet steel, did spur me forth, and not all love to see you, though so much as might have drawn one to a longer voyage, but jealousy what might befall your travel, being skilless in these parts, which to a stranger, unguided and unfriended, often prove rough and unhospitable. My willing love, the rather, by these arguments of fear, set forth in your pursuit.
My kind Antonio, I can no other answer make but thanks and thanks and ever thanks. Too oft good turns are shuffled off with such uncurrent pay. But were my worth, as is my conscience firm, you should find better dealing. What's to do? Shall we see the relics of this town?
Tomorrow, sir. Best first go see your lodging.
I am not weary, and 'tis long to-night. I pray you, let us satisfy our eyes with the memorials and the things of fame that do renown this city.
Would you pardon me? I do not without danger walk these streets. Once in a sea-fight against the Countess galleys I did some service, of such note indeed that, were I ta'en here, it would scarce be answered.
Belike you slew great number of his people.
The offence is not of such a bloody nature, albeit the quality of the time and quarrel might well have given us bloody argument. It might have since been answered in repaying what we took from them, which, for traffic's sake, most of our city did. Only myself stood out, for which, if I be lapsed in this place, I shall pay dear.
Do not walk, then, too open.
It doth not fit me. Hold, sir, here's my purse. In the south suburbs, said the elephant, is best to lodge. I will bespeak our diet, whilst you beguile the time and feed your knowledge with viewing of the town. There shall you have me.
Why are your purse?
Haply your eyes shall light upon some toy you have desired to purchase, and your store, I think, is not for idle market, sir.
I'll be your purse-bearer, and leave you for an hour.
To the elephant.
I do remember.
Exeunt. Scene 4. Olivia's Garden. Enter Olivia and Maria.
I have sent after him. He says he'll come. How shall I feast him? What bestow of him? For youth is bought more oft than begged or borrowed. I speak too loud. Where is Malvolio? He is sad and civil, and suits well for a servant with my fortunes. Where is Malvolio?
He's coming, madam, but in a very strange manner. He is sure possessed, madam.
Why, what's the matter? Does he rave?
No, madam, he does nothing but smile. Your ladyship were best to have some guard about you, if he come. For sure the man is tainted in's wits.
Go call him hither.
Exit Maria.
I am as mad as he, if sad and merry madness equal be.
Re-enter Maria, with Malvolio.
How now, Malvolio?
Sweet lady, ho-ho!
Smilest thou? I sent for thee upon a sad occasion.
Sad, lady? I could be sad. This does make some obstruction in the blood, this cross-guttering, but what of that? If it please the eye of one, it is with me as the very true sonnet is, please one and please all.
Why, how dost thou, man? What is the matter with thee?
Not black in my mind, though yellow in my legs. It did come to his hands, and commands shall be executed. I think we do know the sweet Roman hand.
Wilt thou go to bed, Malvolio?
To bed? Aye, sweetheart, and I'll come to thee.
God comfort thee! Why dost thou smile so and kiss thy hand so oft?
How do you, Malvolio?
At your request? Yes, nightingales answer doors.
Why appear you with this ridiculous boldness before my lady?
Be not afraid of greatness. 'Twas well writ.
What mean'st thou by that, Malvolio?
Some are born great.
Ha! Huh.
Some achieve greatness.
What sayest thou?
And some have greatness thrust upon them.
Heaven restore thee!
Remember who commended thy yellow stockings.
Thy yellow stockings?
And wish to see thee cross-gartered?
Cross-gartered?
Go to. Thou art made, if thou desirest to be so.
Am I made?
If not, let me see thee a servant still.
Why, this is very midsummer madness.
Enter servant.
Madam, the young gentleman of the Court Orsino's is returned. I could hardly entreat him back. He attends your ladyship's pleasure.
I'll come to him.
Exit servant.
Good Maria, let this fellow be looked to. Where's my cousin Toby? Let some of my people have a special care of him. I would not have him miscarry for the half of my dowry.
Exeunt Olivia and Maria.
Uh-huh. Do you come near me now? No worse man than Sir Toby to look to me. This concurs directly with the letter. She sends him on purpose that I may appear stubborn to him, for she incites me to that in the letter. Cast thy humble slough, she says. Be opposite with a kinsman, surly with servants. Let thy tongue tang with arguments of state. Put thyself into the trick of singularity, and consequently sets down the manner how, as a sad face, a reverend carriage, a slow tongue, in the habit of some sir of note, and so forth, I have limed her. But it is Jove's doing, and Jove make me thankful. And when she went away now, let this fellow be looked to. Fellow, not Malvolio, nor after my degree, but fellow. Why, everything adheres together, that no dram of a scruple, no scruple of a scruple, no obstacle, no incredulous or unsafe circumstance, what can be said? Nothing that can be can come between me and the full prospect of my hopes. Well, Jove, not I, is the doer of this, and he is to be thanked.
Re-enter Maria with Sir Toby Belch and Fabian.
Which way is he in the name of sanctity? If all the devils of hell be drawn in little, and legion himself possessed him, yet I'll speak to him.
Here he is, here he is. How is't with you, sir? How's't with you, man?
Go off. I discard you. Let me enjoy my private. Go off.
Lo, how hollow the fiend speaks within him. Did not I tell you? Sir Toby, my lady prays you to have a care of him.
Uh-huh. Does she, sir?
Go to, go to. Peace, peace. We must deal gently with him. Let me alone. How do you do, Malvolio? How is it with you? What, man, defy the devil? Consider he's an enemy to mankind.
Do you know what you say?
Lie, you, and you speak ill of the devil, how he takes it at heart. Pray God he be not bewitched.
Carry his water to the wise woman.
Marry, and it shall be done to-morrow morning, if I live. My lady would not lose him for more than I'll say.
How now, mistress?
O Lord!
Prithee, hold thy peace. This is not the way. Do you not see you move him? Let me alone with him.
No way but gentleness. Gently, gently, the fiend is rough and will not be roughly used.
Why, how now, my bawcock? How dost thou, Chuck?
Sir!
Ay, biddy, come with me. What, man, 'tis not for gravity to play at cherry-pit with Satan. Hang him, foul collier.
Get him to say his prayers, good Sir Toby. Get him to pray.
My prayers, minx?
No, I warrant you, he will not hear of godliness.
Go hang yourselves all. You are idle, shallow things. I am not of your element. You shall know more hereafter.
Exit.
Is it possible?
If this were played upon a stage now, I could condemn it in probable fiction.
His very genius hath taken the infection of the device, man.
Nay, pursue him now, lest the device take air and taint.
Why, we shall make him mad indeed.
The house will be the quieter.
Come, we'll have him in a dark room and bound. My niece is already in the belief that he's mad. We may carry it thus for our pleasure and his penance, till our very pastime, tired out of breath, prompt us to have mercy on him, at which time we will bring the device to the bar and crown thee for a finder of madmen. But see, but see.
Enter Sir Andrew.
More matter for a May morning.
Here's the challenge. Read it. Warrant there's vinegar and pepper in it.
Is't so saucy?
I warrant him. Do but read.
Give me.
Reads.
Youth, whatsoever thou art but a scurvy fellow.
Good and valiant.
Wonder not, nor admire not in thy mind, why I do call thee so, for I will show thee no reason for it.
A good note, that keeps you from the blow of the law.
Thou comest to the lady Olivia, and in my sight she uses thee kindly, but thou liest in thy throat. That is not the matter I challenge thee for.
Very brief, and to exceeding good sense, less.
I will waylay thee going home, where, if it be thy chance to kill me...
Good.
Thou killest me like a rogue and a villain.
Still you keep at the windy side of the law. Good.
Fare thee well, and God have mercy upon one of our souls. He may have mercy upon mine, but my hope is better, and so look to thyself, thy friend, as thou usest him, and thy sworn enemy, Andrew Aguecheek. If this letter move him not, his legs cannot. I'll give it him.
You may have very fit occasion for it. He is now in some commerce with my lady, and will by and by depart.
Go, Sir Andrew, scout me for him at the corner of the orchard like a bumbailey. So soon as ever thou seest him, draw, and as thou drawest, swear horrible, for it comes to pass oft that a terrible oath, with a swaggering accent sharply twanged off, gives manhood more approbation than ever proof itself would have earned him. Away!
Oh, nay, let me alone for swearing!
Exit.
Now will I not deliver his letter, for the behaviour of a young gentleman gives him out to be of good capacity and breeding. His employment between his lord and my niece confirms no less, and therefore this letter, being so excellently ignorant, will breed no terror in the youth. He will find it comes from a clodpole. But, sir, I will deliver his challenge by word of mouth, set upon Aguecheek a notable report of valour, and drive the gentleman, as I know his youth will aptly receive it,
into a most hideous opinion of his rage, skill, fury, and impetuosity. This will so fright them both that they will kill one another by the look, like cockatrices.
Re-enter Olivia with Viola.
Here he comes with your niece. Give them way till he take leave, and presently after him.
I will meditate the while upon some horrid message for a challenge.
Exeunt Sir Toby Belch, Fabian, and Maria.
I have said too much unto a heart of stone, and laid mine honour too unchary out. There's something in me that reproves my fault, but such a headstrong, potent fault it is, that it but mocks reproof.
With the same haviour that your passion bears goes on my master's grief.
Here, wear this jewel for me. 'Tis my picture. Refuse it not. It hath no tongue to vex you. And I beseech you, come again to-morrow. What shall you ask of me that I'll deny, that honour saved may upon asking give?
Nothing but this, your true love for my master.
How, with mine honour, may I give him that which I have given to you?
I will acquit you.
Well, come again to-morrow. Fare thee well. A fiend like thee might bear my soul to hell.
Exit. Re-enter Sir Toby Belch and Fabian.
Gentlemen, God save thee.
And you, sir?
That defence thou hast, betake thee to it. Of what nature the wrongs are thou hast done him, I know not. But thy interceptor, full of despite, bloody as the hunter, attends thee at the orchard end. Dismount thy tuck, be yare in thy preparation, for thy assailant is quick, skilful, and deadly.
You mistake, sir. I am sure no man hath any quarrel to me. My remembrance is very free and clear from any image of offence done to any man.
You'll find it otherwise, I assure you. Therefore, if you hold your life at any price, betake you to your guard, for your opposite hath in him what youth, strength, skill, and wrath can furnish man withal.
I pray you, sir, what is he?
He is knight, dubbed with unhatched rapier and uncarpet consideration, but he is a devil in private brawl. Souls and bodies hath he divorced three, and his incensement at this moment is so implacable that satisfaction can be none but by pangs of death and sepulchre. Hobnob is his word. Give it or take it.
I will return again into the house and desire some conduct of the lady. I am no fighter. I have heard of some kind of men that put quarrels purposely on others to taste their valour. Belike this is a man of that quirk.
Sir, no. His indignation derives itself out of a very competent injury. Therefore get you on and give him his desire. Back you shall not to the house unless you undertake that with me, which with as much safety you might answer him. Therefore, on, or strip your sword stark naked. For mettle you must, that's certain, or forswear to wear iron about you.
This is as uncivil as strange. I beseech you, do me this courteous office, as to know of the knight what my offence to him is. It is something of my negligence, nothing of my purpose.
I will do so. Signor Fabian, stay you by this gentleman till my return.
Exit.
Pray you, sir, do you know of this matter?
I know the knight is incensed against you, even to a mortal arbitrament, but nothing of the circumstance more.
I beseech you, what manner of man is he?
Nothing of that wonderful promise to read him by his form, as you were like to find him in the proof of his valour. He is indeed, sir, the most skilful, bloody, and fatal opposite that you could have possibly found in any part of Illyria. Will you walk towards him? I will make your peace with him if I can.
I shall be much bound to you for it. I am one that hath rather go with Sir Priest than Sir Knight. I care not who knows so much of my mettle.
Exeunt. Re-enter Sir Toby Belch with Sir Andrew.
Why, man, he's a very devil. I have not seen such a farrago. I had a pass with him, rapier, scabbard, and all, and he gives me the stuck in with such a mortal motion that it is inevitable. And on the answer, he pays you as surely as your feet hit the ground they step on. They say he has been fencer to the Sophie.
Pox on it, I'll not meddle with him.
Aye, but he will not now be pacified. Fabian can scarce hold him yonder.
Plague on! And I thought he had been valiant and so cunning in fence, I'd have seen him damned ere I'd have challenged him. Let him let the matter slip, and I'll give him my horse, Grey Capulet.
I'll make the motion. Stand here. Make a good show on it. This shall end without the perdition of souls.
Aside.
Marry, I'll ride your horse as well as I ride you.
Re-enter Fabian and Viola. To Fabian.
I have his horse to take up the quarrel. I have persuaded him the youth's a devil.
He is as horribly conceited of him, and pants and looks pale, as if a bear were at his heels.
To Viola.
There's no remedy, sir. He will fight you for his oath's sake. Marry, he hath better bethought him of his quarrel, and he finds that now scarce to be worth talking of. Therefore, draw for the supportance of his vow. He protests he will not hurt you.
Aside.
Oh, pray God defend me. A little thing would make me tell them how much I lack of a man.
Give ground if you see him furious.
Come, Sir Andrew, there's no remedy. The gentleman will, for his honour's sake, have one bout with you. He cannot, by the duello, avoid it. But he has promised me, as he is a gentleman and a soldier, he will not hurt you. Come on, to it.
Oh, pray God he keep his oath!
I do assure you, 'tis against my will.
They draw. Enter Antonio.
Put up your sword. If this young gentleman have done offence, I take the fault on me. If you offend him, I for him defy you.
You, sir? Why, what are you?
One, sir, that for his love dares yet do more than you have heard him brag to you, he will.
Nay, if you be an undertaker, I am for you.
They draw. Enter officers.
Oh, good Sir Toby, hold. Here come the officers.
I'll be with you anon.
Pray, sir, put up your sword, if you please.
Oh, merry will I, sir, and for that I promised you. I'll be as good as my word. He will bear you easily, and reigns well.
This is the man. Do thy office.
Antonio, I arrest thee at the suit of Count Orsino.
You do mistake me, sir.
No, sir, not jot. I know your favour well, though now you have no sea-cap on your head. Take him away. He knows I know him well.
I must obey.
To Viola.
This comes with seeking you. But there's no remedy. I shall answer it. What will you do now my necessity makes me to ask you for my purse? It grieves me much more for what I cannot do for you than what befalls myself. You stand amazed, but be of comfort.
Come, sir, away.
I must entreat of you some of that money.
What money, sir? For the fair kindness you have showed me here, and part being prompted by your present trouble, out of my lean and low ability I'll lend you something. My having is not much. I'll make division of my present with you. Hold, there's half my coffer.
Will you deny me now? Is it possible that my deserts to you can lack persuasion? Do not tempt my misery, lest that it make me so unsound a man as to upbraid you with those kindnesses that I have done for you.
I know of none, nor know I you by voice or any feature. I hate ingratitude more in a man than lying, vainness, babbling, drunkenness, or any taint of vice whose strong corruption inhabits our frail blood.
Oh, heavens themselves!
Come, sir, I pray you, go.
Let me speak a little. This youth that you see here, I snatched one half out of the jaws of death, relieved him with such sanctity of love, and to his image, which methought did promise most venerable worth, did I devotion.
What's that to us? Time goes by. Away.
But, oh, how vile and idle proves this God. Thou hast, Sebastian, done good features shame. In nature there's no blemish but the mind. None can be called deformed but the unkind. Virtue is beauty, but the beauteous evil are empty trunks, or flourished by the devil.
The man grows mad. Away with him. Come, come, sir.
Lead me on.
Exit with officers.
Methinks his words do from such passion fly that he believes himself. So do not I. Prove true, imagination. Oh, prove true that I, dear brother, be now ta'en for you.
Come hither, knight. Come hither, Fabian. We'll whisper o'er a couplet or two of most sage saws.
He named Sebastian. I my brother know, yet living in my glass. Even such and so in favour was my brother. And he went still in this fashion, colour, ornament. For him I imitate. Oh, if it prove, Tempests are kind, and salt waves fresh in love.
Exit.
A very dishonest, paltry boy, and more a coward than a hare. His dishonesty appears in leaving his friend here in necessity and denying him. And, for his cowardship, ask Fabian.
A coward, a most devout coward, religious in it.
Ah, Slid! I'll after him and beat him!
Do. Cuff him soundly. But never draw thy sword.
And I do not!
Come, let's see the event.
I dare lay any money, 'twill be nothing yet.
Exeunt. End of Act 3. Act 4 of Twelfth Night by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Act 4, Scene 1. Before Olivia's house. Enter Sebastian and Clown.
Will you make me believe that I am not sent for you?
Go to, thou art a foolish fellow. Let me be clear of thee.
Well held out, I faith. No, I do not know you, nor I am not sent to you by my lady to bid you come speak with her, nor your name is not Master Cesario, nor this is not my nose neither. Nothing that is so is so.
I prithee vent thy folly somewhere else. Thou know'st not me.
Vent my folly? He has heard that word of some great man, and now applies it to a fool. Vent my folly? I am afraid this great lubber of the world will prove a cockney. I prithee now, ungrid thy strangeness, and tell me what I shall vent to my lady. Shall I vent to her that thou art coming?
I prithee, foolish Greek, depart from me. There's money for thee. If thou tarry longer, I shall give worse payment.
By my troth, thou hast an open hand. These wise men that give fools money get themselves a good report. After 14 years' purchase.
Enter Sir Andrew, Sir Toby Belch, and Fabian.
Now, sir, have I met you again? There's for you!
Why, there's for thee, and there, are all the people mad?
Hold, sir, or I'll throw your dagger o'er the house.
This will I tell my lady straight. I would not be in some of your coats for 2 pence.
Exit.
Come on, sir, hold.
Nay, let him alone. I'll go another way to work with him. I'll have an action of battery against him if there be any law in Illyria. Though I struck him first, yet it's no matter for that.
Let go thy hand.
Come, sir, I will not let you go. Come, my young soldier, put up your iron. You are well fleshed. Come on.
I will be free from thee. What wouldst thou now? If thou dar'st tempt me further, draw thy sword.
What, what? Nay, then I must have an ounce or two of this malapert blood from you.
Enter Olivia.
Hold, Toby. On thy life I charge thee, hold.
Madam.
Will it be ever thus? Ungracious wretch, fit for the mountains and the barbarous caves where manners ne'er were preached, out of my sight. Be not offended, dear Cesario. Rudesby, be gone.
Exeunt Sir Toby Belch, Sir Andrew, and Fabian.
I prithee, gentle friend, let thy fair wisdom, not thy passions, sway in this uncivil and thou unjust extent against thy peace. Go with me to my house, and hear thou there how many fruitless pranks this ruffian hath botched up, that thou thereby mayst smile at this. Thou shalt not choose but go. Do not deny. Beshrew his soul for me. He started one poor heart of mine in thee.
What relish is in this? How runs the stream? Or am I mad, or else this is a dream? Let fancy still my sense in this lethe sleep. If it be thus a dream, still let me sleep.
Nay, come, I prithee. Would thou'st be ruled by me?
Madam, I will.
Oh, say so, and so be.
Exeunt. Scene 2. Olivia's house. Enter Maria and Clown.
Nay, I prithee, put on this gown and this beard. Make him believe thou art Sir Topas, the curate. Do it quickly. I'll call Sir Toby the whilst.
Exit.
Well, I'll put it on, and I will dissemble myself in it. And I would I were the first that ever dissembled in such a gown. I am not tall enough to become the function well, nor lean enough to be thought a good student. But to be said, an honest man and a good housekeeper goes as fairly as to say a careful man and a great scholar. The competitors enter.
Enter Sir Toby Belch and Maria.
Jove bless thee, Master Parson.
Buenos dias, Sir Toby. For as the old hermit of Prague, that never saw pen and ink, very wittily said to a niece of King Gorboduc, that is. So I, being Master Parsons, am Master Parsons, for what is that but that, and is but is.
To him, Sir Topaz.
What? Ho, I say, peace in the prison.
The knave counterfeits well, a good knave.
Within.
Who calls there?
Sir Topaz, the curate, who come to visit Malvolio, the lunatic.
Sir Topaz, good Sir Topaz, go to my lady.
Out, hyperbolic fiend! How vexed thou this man? Talkest thou nothing but of ladies?
Well said, Master Parson.
Sir Topaz, never was man thus wronged. Good Sir Topaz, do not think I am mad. They have laid me here in hideous darkness.
Fie, thou dishonest Satan! I call thee by the most modest terms, for I am one of those gentle ones that will use the devil himself with courtesy. Sayest thou that house is dark?
As hell, Sir Topaz.
Why, it hath bay windows transparent as barricados, and the clear stones towards the south-north are as lustrous as ebony. And yet complainest thou of obstruction?
I am not mad, Sir Topaz. I say to you, this house is dark.
Madman, thou errest. I say there is no darkness but ignorance, in which thou art more puzzled than the Egyptians in their fog.
I say this house is as dark as ignorance, though ignorance were as dark as hell, and I say there was never man thus abused. I am no more mad than you are. Make the trial of it, in any constant question.
What is the opinion of Pythagoras concerning wild fowl?
That the soul of our grandam might haply inhabit a bird.
What thinkest thou of his opinion?
I think nobly of the soul, and in no way approve his opinion.
Fare thee well, remain thou still in darkness. Thou shalt hold the opinion of Pythagoras ere I will allow of thy wits, and fear to kill a woodstock, lest thou disposest the soul of thy grandam. Fare thee well.
Sir Topaz!
My most exquisite Sir Topaz.
Nay, I am for all waters.
Thou mightest have done this without thy beard and gown. He sees thee not.
To him in thine own voice, and bring me word how thou findest him. I would we were well rid of this knavery. If he may be conveniently delivered, I would he were, for I am now so far in offence with my niece that I cannot pursue with any safety this sport to the upshot. Come, by and by, to my chamber.
Exeunt Sir Toby Belch and Maria.
Hey, Robin, jolly Robin, tell me how thy lady does.
Fool!
My lady is unkind, purty.
Fool!
Alas, why is she so?
Fool, I say.
She loves another. Who calls her?
Good fool, as ever thou wilt deserve well at my hand, help me to a candle and pen, ink and paper. As I am a gentleman, I will live to be thankful to thee for't.
Master Malvolio?
Aye, good fool.
Alas, sir, how fell you besides your five wits?
Fool, there was never a man so notoriously abused. I am as well in my wits, fool, as thou art.
But as well? Then you are mad indeed, if you be no better in your wits than a fool.
They have here propertied me, keep me in darkness, send ministers to me, asses, and do all they can to face me out of my wits.
Advise you what you say, the minister is here.
Malvolio, Malvolio, thy wits the heavens restore. Endeavour thyself to sleep, and leave thy vain bibble-babble.
Sir Topaz!
Maintain no words with him, good fellow.
Who, I, sir? Not I, sir. Go be with you, good Sir Topaz.
Marry, amen.
I will, sir, I will.
Fool, 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 I say.
Alas, sir, be patient. What say you, sir? I am shent for speaking to you.
Good fool, help me to some light and some paper. I tell thee I am as well in my wits as any man in Illyria.
Well a day that you were, sir.
By this hand I am. Good fool, some ink, paper, and light, and convey what I will set down to my lady. It shall advantage thee more than ever the bearing of letter did.
I will help you to it. But tell me true, are you not mad indeed, or do you but counterfeit?
Believe me, I am not. I tell thee true.
Nay, I'll ne'er believe a madman till I see his brains. I will fetch you light and paper and ink.
Fool, I'll requite it in the highest degree. I prithee be gone.
I am gone, sir, and anon, sir, I'll be with you again, in a trice like to the old vice your need to sustain. Who with dagger of laugh in his rage and his wrath cries aha to the devil? Like a mad lad, pare thy nails, dad, adieu, good man devil.
Exit. Scene 3. Olivia's Garden. Enter Sebastian.
This is the air, that is the glorious sun, the pearl she gave me. I do feel it, and see it, and though 'tis wonder that enwraps me thus, yet 'tis not madness. Where's Antonio, then? I could not find him at the Elephant. Yet there he was, and there I found this credit, that he did range the town to seek me out. His counsel now might do me golden service, for though my soul disputes well with my sense that this may be some error, but no madness, yet doth this accident and flood of fortune so far exceed all instance, all discourse, that I am ready to distrust mine eyes and wrangle with my reason, that persuades me to any other trust but that I am mad, or else the lady's mad. Yet if 'twas so, she could not sway her house, command her followers, take and give back affairs, and dispatch with such a smooth, discreet, and stable bearing as I perceive she does. There's something in it that is deceivable. But here the lady comes.
Enter Olivia and Priest.
Blame not this haste of mine. If you mean well, now go with me, and with this holy man into the chantry by. There, before him, and underneath the consecrated roof, plight me the full assurance of your faith, that my most jealous and too doubtful soul may live at peace. He shall conceal it, whilst you are willing it shall come to note, what time we will our celebration keep, according to my birth. What do you say?
I'll follow this good man, and go with you, and having sworn truth, ever will be true.
Then lead the way, good father, and heaven so shine that they may fairly note this act of mine.
Exeunt. End of Act 4. Act 5 of Twelfth Night by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Act 5, Scene 1, Before Olivia's House. Enter Clown and Fabian.
Now, as thou lovest me, let me see his letter.
Good Master Fabian, grant me another request.
Anything.
Do not desire to see this letter.
This is to give a dog, and in recompense desire my dog again.
Enter Duke Orsino, Viola, Curio, and Lords.
Belong you to the Lady Olivia, friends?
Aye, sir, we are some of her trappings.
I know thee well. How dost thou, my good fellow?
Truly, sir, the better for my foes and the worse for my friends.
Just the contrary, the better for thy friends.
No, sir, the worse.
How can that be?
Marry, sir, they praise me and make an ass of me. Now my foes tell me plainly I am an ass, so that by my foes, sir, I profit in the knowledge of myself, and by my friends I am abused. So that, conclusions to be as kisses, if your four negatives make your two affirmatives, why then, the worse for my friends, and the better for my foes.
Why, this is excellent.
By my troth, sir, no, though it please you to be one of my friends.
Thou shalt not be worse for me. There's gold.
But that it would be double-dealing, sir, I would you could make it another.
Oh, you give me ill counsel.
Put your grace in your pocket, sir, for this once, and let your flesh and blood obey it.
Well, I will be so much a sinner to be a double-dealer. There's another.
Primo, secundo, tertio is a good play, and the old saying is, the third pays for all. The triplex, sir, is a good tripping measure, or the bells of St. Bennet, sir, may put you in mind 1, 2, 3.
You can fool no more money out of me at this throw, if you will let your lady know I am here to speak with her. and bring her along with you. It may awake my bounty further.
Marry, sir, lullaby to your bounty till I come again. I go, sir, but I would not have you think that my desire of having is the sin of covetousness. But as you say, sir, let your bounty take a nap. I will awake it anon.
Exit.
Here comes the man, sir, that did rescue me.
Enter Antonio and officers.
That face of his I do remember well. Yet, when I saw it last, it was besmeared as black as Vulcan in the smoke of war. A baubling vessel was he captain of, for shallow draught and bulk unprizable, with which such scathful grapple did he make with the most noble bottom of our fleet, that very envy and the tongue of loss cried fame and honour on him. What's the matter?
Orosino, this is that Antonio that took the Phoenix and her fraught from Candy, and this is he that did the tiger board when your young nephew Titus lost his leg. Here in the streets, desperate of shame and state, in private brabble did we apprehend him.
He did me kindness, sir, drew on my side, but in conclusion put strange speech upon me. I know not what 'twas but distraction.
Notable pirate, thou salt-water thief! What foolish boldness brought thee to their mercies, whom thou, in terms so bloody and so dear, hast made thine enemies?
Orsino, noble sir, be pleased that I shake off these names you give me. Antonio never yet was thief or pirate, though I confess on base and ground enough Orsino's enemy. A witchcraft drew me hither. That most ungrateful boy there by your side, from the rude sea's enraged and foamy mouth did I redeem. A wreck past hope he was. His life I gave him, and did thereto add my love, without retention or restraint, all his in dedication. For his sake did I expose myself, pure for his love, into the danger of this adverse town, drew to defend him when he was beset, where being apprehended, his false cunning, not meaning to partake with me in danger, taught him to face me out of his acquaintance, and grew a 20 years removed thing, while one would wink, denied me my own purse, which I had recommended to his use not half an hour before.
How can this be?
When came he to this town?
Today, my lord, and for 3 months before, no interim, not a minute's vacancy, both day and night, did we keep company.
Enter Olivia and attendants.
Here comes the countess. Now heaven walks on earth. But for thee, fellow, thy words are madness. 3 months this youth hath tended upon me, but more of that anon. Take him aside.
What would my lord but that he may not have wherein Olivia may seem serviceable? Cesario, you do not keep promise with me.
Madam?
Gracious Olivia!
What do you say, Cesario? Good my lord.
My lord would speak. My duty hushes me.
If it be aught to the old tune, my lord, it is as fat and fulsome to mine ear as howling after music.
Still so cruel?
Still so constant, lord.
What, to perverseness? You uncivil lady, to whose ingrate and unauspicious altars my soul the faithfulest offerings hath breathed out that e'er devotion tendered. What shall I do?
Even what it please my lord that shall become him.
Why should I not, had I the heart to do it, like to the Egyptian thief at point of death, kill what I love? A savage jealousy that sometimes savours nobly. But hear me this, since you to non-regardance cast my faith, and that I partly know the instrument that screws me from my true place in your favour, live you the marble-breasted tyrant still. But this, your minion, whom I know you love, and whom, by heaven I swear, I tender dearly, him will I tear out of that cruel eye, where he sits crowned in his master's spite. Come, boy, with me. Thy thoughts are ripe in mischief. I'll sacrifice the lamb that I do love, to spite a raven's heart within a dove.
And I, most jocund, apt, and willingly, to do you rest, 1,000 deaths would die.
Where goes Cesario?
After him I love, more than I love these eyes, more than my life, more by all mores than e'er I shall love wife. If I do feign, you witnesses above, punish my life for tainting of my love.
Ay me! Detested! How am I beguiled?
Who does beguile you? Who does you wrong?
Hast thou forgot thyself? Is it so long? Call forth the Holy Father.
Come, away.
Whither, my lord? Cesario, husband, stay.
Husband?
Ay, husband. Can he that deny?
A husband, sinner.
No, my lord, not I.
Alas, it is the baseness of thy fear that makes thee strangle thy propriety. Fear not, Cesario. Take thy fortunes up. Be that thou knowest thou art, and then thou art as great as that thou fearest.
Enter priest.
Oh, welcome, father. Father, I charge thee, by thy reverence, here to unfold, though lately we intended to keep in darkness, what occasion now reveals before 'tis ripe, what thou dost know hath newly passed between this youth and me.
A contract of eternal bond of love, confirmed by mutual joinder of your hands, attested by the holy close of lips, strengthened by interchangement of your rings, and all the ceremony of this compact sealed in my function, by my testimony, since when, my watch hath told me, toward my grave I have travelled but 2 hours.
O thou dissembling cub, what wilt thou be when time hath sowed a grizzle on thy case? Or will not else thy craft so quickly grow that thine own trip shall be thine overthrow? Farewell, and take her, but direct thy feet where thou and I henceforth may never meet.
My lord, I do protest.
Oh, do not swear. Hold little faith, though thou hast too much fear.
Enter Sir Andrew.
For the love of God, a surgeon! Send one presently to Sir Toby!
What's the matter?
He has broke my head across, and has given Sir Toby a bloody coxcomb too. For the love of God, your help! Oh, I had rather £40 I were at home!
Who has done this, Sir Andrew?
The Count's gentleman, one Cesario. We took him for a coward, but he's the very devil incarnate.
My gentleman, Cesario?
Odds lifelings, there he is! You broke my head for nothing! And that I did, I was set on to do it by Sir Toby!
Why do you speak to me? I never hurt you. You drew your sword upon me without cause. But I bespoke you fair and hurt you not.
Well, if a bloody coxcomb be hurt, you've hurt me. I think you said nothing by a bloody coxcomb.
Enter Sir Toby Belch and Clown.
Here comes Sir Toby Holding. You shall hear more. But if he had not been in drink, he would have tickled you on the gates than he did.
How now, gentlemen? How is't with you?
That's all one. Has hurt me, and there's the end on it. Sot, didst see Dick's surgeon, Sot?
Oh, he's drunk, Sir Toby, an hour agone. His eyes were set at 8, I the morning.
Then he's a rogue and a passing measures pavin. I hate a drunken rogue.
Away with him! Who hath made this havoc with them?
I'll help you, Sir Toby, because we'll be dressed together.
Will you help? An ass head and a coxcomb? And a knave, a thin-faced knave, a gull.
Get him to bed, and let his hurt be looked to.
Exeunt Clown, Fabian, Sir Toby Belch, and Sir Andrew. Enter Sebastian.
I am sorry, madam. I have hurt your kinsman. But had it been the brother of my blood, I must have done no less by wit and safety. You throw a strange regard upon me, and by that I do perceive it hath offended you. Pardon me, sweet one, even for the vows we made each other but so late ago.
One face, one voice, one habit, and two persons. A natural perspective, that is, and is not.
Antonio! Oh, my dear Antonio, how have the hours racked and tortured me since I have lost thee?
Sebastian, are you...
Fearest thou that, Antonio?
How have you made division of yourself? An apple cleft in two is not more twin than these two creatures. Which is Sebastian?
Most wonderful!
Do I stand there? I never had a brother, nor can there be in that deity of my nature, of here and everywhere. I had a sister, whom the blind waves and surges have devoured. Of charity, what kin are you to me? What countrymen, what name, what parentage?
Of Messaline. Sebastian was my father. Such a Sebastian was my brother too. So went he suited to his watery tomb. If spirits can assume both form and suit, you come to fright us.
A spirit I am indeed, but am in that dimension grossly clad, which from the womb I did participate. Were you a woman, as the rest goes even, I should my tears let fall upon your cheek, and say thrice welcome, drowned Viola.
My father had a mole upon his brow.
And so had mine.
And died that day when Viola from her birth had numbered 13 years.
Oh, that record is lively in my soul. He finished indeed his mortal act that day that made my sister 13 years.
If nothing lets to make us happy both but this my masculine usurped attire, do not embrace me till each circumstance of place, time, fortune do cohere and jump, that I am Viola. Which to confirm, I'll bring you to a captain in this town, where lie my maiden weeds, by whose gentle help I was preserved to serve this noble count. All the occurrence of my fortune since hath been between this lady and this lord.
To Olivia.
So comes it, lady. You have been mistook, but nature to her bias drew in that. You would have been contracted to a maid, nor are you therein, by my life, deceived. You are betrothed both to a maid and man.
Be not amazed, right noble is his blood, if this be so. As yet the glass seems true, I shall have share in this most happy wreck.
To Viola.
Boy, thou hast said to me 1,000 times, thou never shouldst love woman like to me.
And all those sayings will I overswear, and those swearings keep as true in soul as doth that orbed continent the fire that severs day from night.
Give me thy hand, and let me see thee in thy woman's weeds.
The captain that did bring me first on shore hath my maid's garments. He, upon some action, is now in durance at Malvolio's suit, a gentleman and follower of my lady's.
He shall enlarge him. Fetch Malvolio hither. And yet, alas, now I remember me. They say, poor gentleman, he's much distract.
Re-enter Clown, with a letter, and Fabian.
A most extracting frenzy of mine own from my remembrance clearly banished his. How does he, sirrah?
Truly, madame, he holds Beelzebub at the staff's end as well as any man in his case may do. Has here writ a letter to you, I should have given to you to-day morning. But as a madman's epistles are no gospel, so it skills not much when they are delivered.
Open it and read it.
Look then to be well edified when the fool delivers the madman.
By the Lord, madame!
How now, art thou mad?
No, madame, I do but read madness, and your ladyship will have it as it ought to be. You must allow vox.
Prithee, read I thy right wits.
So I do, Madonna, but to read his right wits is to read thus. Therefore, prepend, my princess, and give ear.
To Fabian.
Read it you, sirrah.
By the Lord, madam, you wrong me, and the world shall know it. Though you have put me into darkness, and given your drunken cousin rule over me, yet I have the benefit of my senses as well as your ladyship. I have your own letter that induced me to the semblance I put on, with the which I doubt not but to do myself much right, or you much shame. Think of me as you please. I leave my duty a little unthought of, and speak out of my injury, the madly used Malvolio.
Did he write this?
Aye, madame.
This savours not much of distraction.
See him delivered, Fabian. Bring him hither.
Exit Fabian.
My lord, so please you. These things further thought on, to think me as well a sister as a wife. One day shall crown the alliance on it, so please you, here at my house, and at my proper cost.
Madam, I am most apt to embrace your offer.
To Viola.
Your master quits you, and for your service done him, so much against the mettle of your sex, so far beneath your soft and tender breeding, and since you called me master for so long, here is my hand, you shall from this time be your master's mistress.
A sister, you are she.
Re-enter Fabian with Malvolio.
Is this the madman?
Aye, my lord, this same. How now, Malvolio?
Madam, you have done me wrong, notorious wrong.
Have I, Malvolio? No.
Lady, you have. Pray you, peruse that letter. You must not now deny it is your hand. Write from it, if you can, in hand or phrase, or say 'tis not your seal nor your invention. You can say none of this. Well, grant it then, and tell me, in the modesty of honour, why you have given me such clear lights of favour, bade me come smiling and cross-gartered to you, to put on yellow stockings and to frown upon Sir Toby and the lighter people, and, acting this in an obedient hope, why you have suffered me to be imprisoned, kept in a dark house, visited by the priest, and made the most notorious geck and gull that e'er invention played on. Tell me why.
Alas, Malvolio, this is not my writing, though I confess much like the character, but out of question 'tis Maria's hand. And now I do bethink me, it was she first told me thou wast mad, then cam'st in smiling, and in such forms which here were presupposed upon thee in the letter. Prithee, be content. This practice hath most shrewdly passed upon thee, but when we know the grounds and authors of it, thou shalt be both the plaintiff and the judge of thine own cause.
Good madam, hear me speak, and let no quarrel, no brawl to come, taint the condition of this present hour, which I have wondered at. In hope it shall not, most freely I confess, myself and Toby set this device against Malvolio here, upon some stubborn and uncourteous parts we had conceived against him. Maria writ the letter at Sir Toby's great importance, in recompense whereof he hath married her. How, with a sportful malice, it was followed, may rather pluck on laughter than revenge, if that the injuries be justly weighed that have on both sides passed.
Alas, poor fool, how have they baffled thee?
Why, some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrown upon them. I was one, sir, in this interlude, one Sir Topaz, sir, but that's all one. By the Lord, fool, I am not mad. But do you remember? Madame, why laugh you at such a barren rascal? And you smile not. He's gagged. And thus the whirligig of time brings in his revenges.
I'll be revenged on the whole pack of you.
Exit.
He hath been most notoriously abused.
Pursue him, and entreat him to a peace. He hath not told us of the captain yet. When that is known, and golden time convents, a solemn combination shall be made of our dear souls. Meantime, sweet sister, we will not part from hence. Cesario, come, for so you shall be, while you are a man, but when in other habits you are seen, Orsino's mistress, and his fancy's queen.
Exeunt all, except Clown.
When that I was and a little tiny boy, with hey ho, the wind and the rain, a foolish thing was but a toy, for the rain it raineth every day. But when I came to man's estate, with hey ho, the wind and the rain, gainst knave and thieves men shut their gates, for the rain it raineth every day. But when I came, alas, to wife, with hey ho, the wind and the rain, by swaggering could I never thrive, for the rain it raineth every day. But when I came unto my beds, with hey ho, the wind and the rain, with tosspots still had drunken heads, for the rain it raineth every day. A great while ago the world begun, with hey ho, the wind and the rain, but that's all one. Our play is done, and we'll strive to please you every day.
Exit. End of Act 5. End of Twelfth Night by William Shakespeare.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra-lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.